Part 3, Chapter 2, The Vocation of the Image-Bearer of God. Probably you are acquainted with the well-known extract from Paul's epistle to the Philippians. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. The pupil of the spiritual school will fully understand this admonition when he reflects on the origin and the development of the magnetic body into which he has been admitted. For this magnetic sphere undergoes a process of development through seven phases. The first phase is the beginning of the creation of the group. The second phase is the beginning of the Gnostic touch. The third one, the development of the Gnostic radiation. The fourth phase is the breakthrough and the creation of the vacuum of Shambhala. The fifth is the link with the magnetic chain, formed by all the preceding schools of liberation. The sixth phase is the development of the new life field, while the seventh is the complete liberation. We shall now discuss these seven phases in succession. Every seeking and striving man, provided he knows the path and its conditions, can participate in the path of transfiguration. It becomes quite obvious that group unity in new attitude of life must be observed as one of the most important conditions, for going the path of deliverance entails the fighting of a great battle. In the first place, the group will have to conquer all natural resistance, the obstacles which exist according to natural laws of the magnetic field of dialectics. All of us participate in the magnetic body of this world. If we want to be successful, we will have to conquer, as a group, those powers which exist according to the laws of dialectics. That is the victory over the world. And in addition, we will have to create a battle order against the powers of evil. We will have to celebrate the victory over the shadows that are cast in this world, over the evil which is the sin of the world. When in the Bible reference is made to world conformity, it signifies that man is absorbed by dialectical life, which only is intended as an emergency order. However, this emergency order is not an end in itself. The image bearer has come into existence to fulfill his vocation. An emergency plan underlies the emergency order of dialectics that intends the formation of the image bearer who has to deliver the microcosm. Therefore, the image bearer must conquer his natural instinct of self-preservation. If he does not do this, he will experience that his desire for self-preservation is of no real use, as death catches up with him in the end. An image bearer who does not fulfill his vocation has missed his purpose in the all-revelation, and his existence no longer has any meaning.
The emergency order is at the same time an order of death. Therefore, the emergency order as a world must be conquered by its own product. He who is willing to lose himself in such a way will keep it. For such a one goes the way of liberation together with the microcosm. He has conquered death. He has found universal life. So we shall understand the words of John chapter 1 verse 2. Love not the world, neither the things of the world. If any man loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, that is the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. It certainly cannot be denied that the dialectical order is grand. There are marvelous things in this world that try to detain us, and which, from a certain point of view, have a right to stir and keep our interest. Nevertheless, all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And John establishes, the world will pass by, and all the lusts it contains, yet he who does the will of God abides forever. This is a truth without a single flaw. He who does not follow his vocation as an image-bearer is not only a subject of death, but at the same time, his actions are not, in principle, included in the nature of death. Suppose we draw up a plan with a clear and precise purpose, We prepare this plan in all its detail, we create all the necessary circumstances for its successful realization, and we begin to execute the plan up to a certain point. Yet, at the very moment when this plan is to be crowned with success, we stop all the action which was determined before with such precision, and we abandon ourselves to a way of life which ignores and opposes our plan in all respects. It is in this way that a man acts who does not follow his vocation as image bearer. What such a renegade develops is something that is contrary to the emergency order. Such a person substitutes the dark silhouette of his blind self-will and his inaccurate vision for the great shining purpose to which he, as an image bearer, has been created. In this way, he develops evil. The Universal Brotherhood always incites man to do what is right, that is, to fulfill the plan. Paul says that if a man does not do what is right, he creates evil. Every thought, every feeling, every action that is not in accordance with our vocation feeds and maintains evil. In this way, evil has taken root in our world. Evil is, in fact, not more than an attempt to maintain the world, an unlimited resistance against our fundamental vocation. It is a stupendous drag on the whole process of this vocation. Conquering the world would undoubtedly be very easy if there were no evil. However, evil has a great culture behind it. It is well organized and possesses every man. Before the world can be conquered, evil must be mastered. Before Jesus the Lord begins his path, he is tempted in the desert. It is there that Jesus the Lord conquers the condensed evil, and only then his journey begins. Imagine that evil has blinded you. How then would you be able to see? Imagine that evil has made you deaf. How then would you be able to hear? But now, a Gnostic radiation power has gone out to help us. It is called Jesus Christ. This power is above all an electromagnetic one. With its aid, it is not only our sins, but also the sins of the world that can be taken away. But if we want to make a liberating use of that power, our attitude of life should firstly be reconsidered. Our sins, that is, the consequences of the past, and the related karmic grip, must be taken away by a consequential attempt. We must all be transmuted, sanctified into true image bearers to be afterwards transfigured with our systems. Unfortunately, most people have little opportunity to begin and to continue this transmutation to conquer evil. They have scarcely begun when death overtakes them. This is tragic. There are many millions of persons in the world who try to make something of their lives, but before they have reflected on a choice of direction, their lives are past and death comes to nullify all that was begun. Moreover, they are thwarted in their striving by the living evil which naturally wants them to fail. For as long as they do not succeed, the realm of evil is maintained. Therefore, a possibility must exist to overcome this dark design. Suppose you begin to seek the path. Generally, much time passes in that seeking, for how much man must struggle simply to rise above doubt. You are also thwarted in this endeavor by a number of adversaries who will try to prevent you in many ways: relations, colleagues, principles, circumstances, physical situations. As you stumble and struggle through the years, you become old and bent. Death will come to take you away, to take you away completely, and all has been for nothing. Therefore, it is glorious that the Brotherhood helps us in our stumbling. Because of this help, there is a possibility of overcoming and wrecking the plans of our adversaries, who desire to nullify all that has been begun. This possibility is present in the existence of a Christ-centered magnetic body. In the nature of death, a magnetic body also exists into which we have been admitted, in which we live and from which we breathe, by which each physical function performs its task. If we want to go the path of liberation successfully, we need to be taken up into the other electromagnetic system, the Una Sancta, the Christ-centered magnetic body. When we have entered into that body and are allowed to live in it, death is immediately taken away. That is the first success. The pilgrim, in fact a pitiful wretch, enters the Christ-centered spiritual school, and at the same moment death is swallowed up, nullified. As we have mentioned in former chapters, the element of true life is sown in the new magnetic body and can come to growth. Anyone who possesses the first principle of it can proceed into the vacuum of Shambhala, can continue the newly begun development once the body has passed away. When you see this and you understand the enormity of the issue, a wave of joy will vibrate through you. John within you sees Jesus the Lord coming to him, to the great multitude assembled at the bank of the Jordan. Now see clearly through this mystical language, the pupils stand at the bank of the Jordan. They have reached the deepest depths, the nadir of their lives in the nature of death, and the wave of Gnostic electromagnetic force touches them. John announces before all his pupils, before all those assembled, "Behold, the Lamb of God which takes away the sins of the world." When you understand this, not with a wave of mystical emotion, but clearly reflecting and clearly observing, you will discover what bliss comes over each pupil who accepts the consequences of his pupilship. Therefore, the ninefold blessing of the Sermon on the Mount begins with, "Blessed are the poor in spirit." Blessed are those who, knowing themselves poor in spirit, are yearning for a renewed spiritual contact, and so enter into the magnetic system of the spirit. Such bliss enters immediately like a flash of lightning into the deepest depths of their souls. Within the magnetic sphere of the Christ-centered body, not only death has been conquered, but also evil and the world. Standing in group unity in this body, the candidate is invincible and receives the opportunity to recover entirely from the evil of aeons and its consequences. In this way, the image-bearer is cured, and he or she is now fit for the homeward journey as a partaker of the new race. Hence the word, "As many as have received him, he gave them power to become the sons of God." When we inform you about the aspects of this sphere of glory and the fulfillment within the living body of Christ, you should not only experience its glory, but you should realize at the same time your great responsibility. You are admitted into a new life field. This life field is not something far away, but you are standing in it. You belong to it when you accept the consequences of your pupilship. The glory of deliverance is offered to you, is served up to you. You are informed, you receive your orientating tuition, and the school in its organization conforms to it like a supple instrument. All of this requires a conscious action from you, a coordinated development, in such a way you must celebrate the feast of your entry into the home Sancti Spiritus. Then the door of death will close behind you, and you will prepare with us the wedding room for countless guests. The field of Shambhala will be like a sevenfold sun and, to us, a true city of God. You may now understand that a new attitude of life becomes an absolute condition. We are not dealing with an interesting subject, but we are trying to impress upon you the importance of this epoch. All that the mysteries could possibly do for a human being is offered to you. A door is opened wide for you, and with all possible love, it is said, "Please enter, brother and sister, but enter with a complete understanding of the consequences." The magnetic sphere, the Una Sancta, of which we will make you conscious, is an entirely new life field, a new earth and a new heaven, as John saw on Patmos. If we reach our goal, you will carry with you the new heaven-earth as a clear image, as a personal possession. Then you see the new heaven-earth of the twofold spiritual school. Then you have become one with it in such a way that for you, the old heaven and the old earth have passed by. When you, in faithful fulfillment of your pupilship, enter into the body of Christ, the veils between the two foci will fade away. Then the serpent fire, the axis of the magnetic body, is like a ladder which connects the two schools, the two foci, with one another. In this way, a free and conscious relationship develops between the inhabitants of both fields. Do not think this to be a fairy tale, for it has always been known, and the old ones have testified of it. Only remember the old story of Jacob. Jacob is in the law of Moses the symbol of the man who is going to be entirely converted. At the critical moment of this conversion, he passes the night at the Jabbok, a brook or a river. Jabbok is the serpent fire where the contact is made between both poles of the magnetic sphere. Jacob sees the brothers and sisters of Shambhala descend via this ladder. There is written, he catches hold of them and says, "I will not let you go, except that you bless me." Perhaps you understand the meaning behind these words. Once being taken up into the new magnetic sphere, you are fully capable of the required new attitude of life with a new purpose, because nothing is required of you that you are not able to accomplish. Once admitted, safe within this magnetic body, you are invincible and able to adopt the new attitude of life. By this attitude of life, according to the Sermon on the Mount, in an intensely conscious struggle, you also can implore that blessed contact with the brothers and sisters of the new life.